Good morning again. Welcome. My name is Harrison Detan, and I'm doing this presentation on behalf of Dr. Ron Rupert and Deepti Gandura, who is sitting over there. I want to thank Dr. Killinger for giving a good background for my own study, too. But before we do that, I say that there's really no relationship for me to disclose in this presentation. As we've heard, prostate cancer is one of the most common neoplasms that we have among males in the United States, even around the world. Actually, CDC reported in 2009 that there were about close to 200,000 diagnosed cases of prostate cancer, and only death that resulted went up to about 28,000. And studies have established a relationship between prostate cancer and back problems. And back problem is one of the most common conditions that we see in the profession. No doubt, as she noted, laboratory tests and manual examinations of the prostate are a routine part of the training in most of the chiropractic programs. Yet, there is a dearth in the literature concerning what chiropractors report concerning prostate cancer. Actually, there is a survey that asks chiropractors how frequently they meet the prostate carcinoma in their practice, and people reported on an average that virtually they never see that. So I thought that was a concern, because if we know that there's high prevalence of prostate cancer and that we know that there's a relationship with back problem and we see a lot of back problem patients, we should reemphasize the importance of early diagnosis. So, but in the meantime, we know that screening of prostate cancer too has emerged as a controversial issue. There's a lot of talk about whether it's necessary, whether it's not necessary. And one of the most common or most popular screening method is using the PSA test, the prostate-specific antigen. It has been used for early detection of prostate cancer, but its validity and risk remains questionable. In fact, people don't really know whether there's a relationship between screening prostate cancer and prostate cancer-specific mortality. So to this slide, we set out to evaluate the effects of PSA-based screening on prostate cancer-specific mortality. And the goal for that will be to engage this group to discuss more whether it's necessary for them to do this screening more often or not. We did a meta-analysis. And we began by doing a literature search and reviewing the literature for validity. And these are some of the databases that we reviewed. The focus was to include studies that were RCTs, specifically comparing prostate cancer mortality between patients that were screened and those who were not screened using PSA. And we focused on studies with limited bias, with limited methodological concerns that went as far back as in the year 2000. And the analysis was done using the comprehensive meta-analysis software program due to Borenstein. That is a very popular software. And we applied the inverse variant weighting method. And I also mentioned results here. I'll provide results for the fixed effect model and the random effect model. And if we have time, I'll discuss why one model is better than the other. And the reasons for giving these two, we'll see that in a minute. Generally, we included eight studies in this analysis, and these are the studies. I will just pass through them. If we need details, we'll show you later on. But these are the studies that we included in the analysis. But this is a summary of what we got from the studies. The studies contributed about close to 500,000 subjects, and these subjects were of varying age groups, ranging from 45 to 80 years. And the threshold for detecting prostate cancer was not unique among the studies, it was different. And the follow-up was between 8.5 to 15 years. We did two types of analysis here, based on the entire study population and based on those who had cancer. So based on the entire population, using the fixed effect model, we found that the relative risk of dying among screened and unscreened people was 0.83 and 0.72 if we use the random effect model. I squared that, I will discuss that in a minute. And based on only those who have prostate cancer, the relative risk even gets better. And these are the details on those studies. So these are the respective studies and the results from the fixed effect and the random effect model are shown at the bottom here. And this one is based on just those who have prostate cancer, whether you die early or not, based on screening. Okay. The choice as to whether we use a fixed effect model or a random effect model is actually a methodological issue. It's a study, it's a decision that is made from study design. However, a lot of people have made this decision based on statistical outcomes rather than a methodological thing. And the whole issue is that if we use a fixed effect model, we expect that the outcome that we want to measure should be constant across all the studies that we are analyzing. And under what condition would that be constant? That they have the same, they come up from the same study design, the background of their subjects are literally the same, and they use the same methodology to do the study. But if you see from the slide where I presented the results, they're different, they fall within a range. So that alone will preclude, or will try to eliminate the fixed effect model and hang on random effect model. And other studies have done that based on a statistical outcome, that is to compare the I-squared, that is to conduct a test of heterogeneity. If you do a test on heterogeneity and you measure an I-squared, you want that for every I-squared values of above 75%, you think that is the appropriate model is the random effect model. And so good enough, even with that, we had 82.9% with a significant p-value. So the result we're going to use are the results of the random effect rather than the fixed. And I'm mentioning this because of the controversy. Other studies have used a fixed effect model. And the details about the two models are just provided there in case somebody will have a question, will be able to show you where the conceptual details lie. But I don't need to discuss this at this point. So based on this study, we saw that over 83% of the dispersion that we see was due to study-to-study variation. And so this is suggestive of the random effect model. So focusing on the random effect model, we see that there's about a 28% reduced risk of dying with prostate cancer when you are screened compared to those who are not screened. And this reduction in risk is even higher if we focus only on those who have prostate cancer. It is 58%. And so the reason why I had to compare those is because of this study. The cross-trial review frequently published meta-analysis on this topic, and the latest one was published in 2010. And in that study, they reported that there was no statistically significant difference in prostate cancer mortality between the screen and unscreen group. That's one of the areas of the controversy again. And they reported a reduced risk of 5%, however not significant. However, that study, and this result is also based on the entire coral, like the one I presented. However, this study used a fixed effect model, and it included just 5 studies where we included 8. So there are some differences. And it is important for us to note that there is no good threshold for detecting prostate cancer. That's where one of the areas of the controversy. And then the risks also in using that test. PSA has a high false positive, a high false negative rate. It has lead time bias. It also, there's overdiagnosis involved with it. And most of the time, when people with very low cutoff points are detected, they go further to do further biopsy. And these have side effects like infection, bleeding, pain. So we should be aware of those. However, it is still important for us to think that based on this analysis, that we should be able to, we should continue screening using PSA. Although, as I said, some people will still hold that it's not necessary, but we've still looked into the literature again, we think that it's important. And given the association of prostate cancer with its metastasis to lumbar spine, creating low back pain, it will be important for us in this group to consider the best practices for its diagnosis and engage in the right discussion too. Thank you so much.